When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When you hear that music, you know what that means. It's the half hour of power, the best show, post show. 30 minutes of rapid fire, on-screen phone calls. And we have the gang here. Everybody's here. We got the one and only AP Mike, his birthday.
Yeah, the birthday
Happy
boy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday. How are the brownies?
Oh, phenomenal.
Good. You like them?
Yeah, it's just laying on me now.
Good. That's exactly what you want.
I mean, it's like,
that's exactly what you want.
I feel like it's Thanksgiving.
Don't worry. You'll get past it.
No, it was good.
We also got Dudio Jason Gore here.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm sorry the revelation that you've tried to bury came out.
It's been good for business.
You flipped
four immediately after you told everyone about that.
Just out of rage.
Yeah.
We've got Kristen is here.
Hello.
Kristen Cheeks, at Kristen Cheeks. I know it's very important to you.
I mean, you're so important.
To get
Thank
followers.
You.
Kristen Bartlett's here.
I'm after one thing only.
And Pat Byrne. How are you, Pat?
I'm okay. Brownie woke me up a little bit.
Woke you up? Usually, so it's going to do the opposite for you.
Yes.
You are getting the properties that are waking you up. Mm-hmm. These everybody else seems to be under in some sort of brownie hypnosis.
I got a small piece of nourishment.
Good. It's so good.
Oh. This is the first time I have we've done the half hour power with you guys since I did your show Bridge and Tunnel.
Yes,
yeah.
Which was so great. It is long form sketch comedy. It was so great. Where I told stories to you guys a month before the show, and then you wrote sketches based on the stories. Wasn't it crazy? Mike was there.
It was very good.
Wasn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I was
it
there.
It was an awesome time. It's all online, too.
Yeah,
so
I want to watch
can
it.
Watch them all.
Where can people get it?
It's on the... Here.
YouTube.com/BNT comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were really great, Tom. Thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you for having me. Off to the phones! Half hour of power, you're on with Tom, AP Mike, Dudio, Kristen, and Pat Byrne.
Hey, it's Sean Orange County, California.
That's a dude.
First dude of the night.
What do you want, dude? No, I'm kidding. How are you?
I'm good. Tom, I ran into you in front of the New Beverly Cinema.
Oh, yeah, you were a nice guy. That was when I was going to see Django Unchained at the midnight show. This is what happened to me that one day. I flew in from San Francisco because John Worster and I were on our tour. Got to Los Angeles, went right from the airport to work to do some cartoon voice stuff. Drove in a panic. Got there, did 4 hours of cartoon voice stuff, drove right from there to do Hollywood Handbook.
Wow.
Did the Grease Nose Eggs episode. Drove right from there to my hotel, checked in, set my bag down, and went to the New Beverly to go see a midnight show of Django Unchained at Quentin Tarantino's theater, New Beverly. And this young man came up and said hi, which was so nice of you. But you were seeing a different movie.
I saw A Fistful of Dollars in Yojimbo beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Do you like going to that theater, the New Beverly? Quentin Tarantino owns it now, right?
Really?
Yeah, and he pops in every once in a while.
And a lot of the films are his actual films from
his
library.
His, yes.
Oh, wow.
And he was on the cover of the New York Post today.
The Post.
Yeah.
This theater is the one in Patton's book, right?
Yes. Quentin Tarantino owns it now. So, what's up, dude?
That's awesome. Well, I was wondering, is November 3rd Mike's birthday?
No, the 4th. It's official now.
After midnight. Beyond the 3rd.
Yeah, the 4th.
Remember,
I was wondering if I
the 4th
shared
of November.
Mike.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
I'm sorry?
You said that it's your birthday, the 3rd?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
You still have a few hours left in Los Angeles time.
Yeah,
it still counts.
Yeah.
Here.
But I was just wondering if I shared it with AP Mike so he could join the illustrious company of Dolph Lundgren and Dennis Miller.
You guys are on the it's like the 3-4. What would that be in baseball, Mike? Who's the 3 in baseball?
The 3. Daniel Murphy?
No. You know when they do the position. What are the numbers of the position?
Oh, first baseman.
Is 3.
Yeah.
And 4 is?
Second baseman.
So it would be a 4-3 double play.
Yeah.
This is a 3-4 play, which would be insane, mm-hmm. which would mean the Mets probably tried to make one or two of them in the fiasco.
Yeah, the fiasco.
What happened? How did they play so poorly?
No hitting, as you said earlier. Yeah.
Or did the Royals just play that much better?
No, actually, the Mets were up. It's the first time in mm-hmm. baseball history mm-hmm. or World Series history mm-hmm. where a team was leading in the 8th or 9th inning mm-hmm. in 3 games, mm-hmm. and they ended up losing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're in the history books now. That's exciting.
History books.
They're a piece of history.
Their failure was monumental.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate the struggle. Mm-hmm. As a Knicks fan, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know them from winning.
Mm-hmm.
94, frustration.
Yeah.
Lost in game 7.
Mm-hmm.
My hero, John Starks.
John Starks.
Bombed out so badly.
Yeah.
1999, they squeak into the finals. Get crushed by the Spurs.
What was the year?
I knew how bad it was going to be. I went to the movies that final game. When I knew they were going to lose, I went to see Big Daddy.
Classic.
Wasn't there a year Reggie Miller put the...
Oh, yeah. You mean like every year? Well, yeah, that was called every year. No, there was a game where the Knicks were up 8.
Sticking a dagger in.
Knicks were up 8 with a minute to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then less than a minute, about 30 seconds to go, and suddenly... I wasn't there. I was at a WFMU record fair, I think. And I was just, it was like 95 or 96. And suddenly it's like, I was like checking scores, like, Knicks are, like people were hearing, cause at that point, people didn't have phones with all that stuff. So it's like, yeah, Knicks are up 8 with a minute to go. Well, we got this one locked. And suddenly it's like, the Knicks just lost the game. Like, what? You mean they lost the game? Win overtime? No, no. They lost in 30 seconds. I was like, oh, what happened? So, I know. I mock because I live there.
Yeah.
Except on the best show, which is just it's one win after another. Except as far as audiences are concerned. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Half Hour Power, you're on with AP Mike, Dudio, Kristen, and Pat Byrne. And my name's Tom. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Tom. It's Coco.
Coco?
Yeah.
How are you, Coco? My friend Coco from the Etz and from Parting Gifts.
Great band.
Yes. How are you tonight, Tom?
Doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I was very excited about the lady call-in episode. I was on an airplane, mm-hmm. and I don't know if... there's technology where I could have done it. I don't know, but I was excited, and I'm excited to hear it. But I'm off the airplane, and I wanted to call and, of course, say happy birthday to Mike.
Thank you very much.
You know, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Okay.
A little bloated from that brownie, but good. Satisfying.
What's going on with you, Coco?
Oh, nothing much. I just... But Tom, did I tell you I did a song for a cartoon and I just found out it's going to be on TV, and so I just found out about that.
Oh my goodness!
I know.
What is the cartoon?
The cartoon is Wander Over Yonder. It's a Disney cartoon, and it's you know Jack McBrayer.
I do.
Chemist from 30 Rock. He's mm-hmm. the lead kind of character guy. So I told my mom this, and my mom gets really excited if I do anything that she can brag about. And so the developer of the show, whose name is Craig McCracken, did the Powerpuff Girls.
Sure.
So she tells people that I'm a Powerpuff Girl, and that's not true. But so little kids will be like, you're one of the Powerpuff Girls. And I'm like, I'm not, but I'll take it.
Well, you now, you're better than a Powerpuff Girl. You're a Cocoa Puff.
I'm a Cocoa Puff.
Right?
Yes.
Did anyone say that to you yet, Cocoa Puff?
I don't think so.
Well, now they did.
Well, now it happened.
You're a Cocoa Puff.
Can I ask if she's cuckoo for Cocoa?
Oh, boy.
Wait.
Remember in the movie Flight when John Goodman's character was like, and you need a Cocoa Puff, and that's putting cocaine into a cigarette, worst character in the history of movies, John Goodman's character.
The drug man.
You're on the dark side of the moon, man. Like, it seems like someone made up drug lingo to Robert Zemeckis because they were, like, messing with him, and then, like, he brought it to the set of the movie being like, yeah, I think I know a thing or two about drug lingo. There's a thing called Cocoa Puffs, and people do this, and then they're on the dark side of the moon. And it's like, everybody else on the set's like, what is this guy talking about? Like, and then meanwhile, there's some guy just laughing when he went to the theater. Oh, that's, I lied to him. I can't believe it all made the final cut of the movie. You need a Cocoa Puff, man.
Mike, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Did you ever see that movie, Coco?
No, but I saw, like, clips of it or something, and I was so confused, and I was like, oh, why? Like,
I'm going to tell you this. You watch that movie. First 15 minutes, you think you're about to see the best movie that's ever been made. Denzel Washington is doing piles of cocaine in a hotel room with the naked lady, then he flies a plane upside down, and you're like, this might be the most intense movie that's ever been made, and then it stops right after that, and then he just goes to rehab for pretty much the rest of the movie. Oh, it's so boring. Like, but the promise of that movie, it's like, you think it's going to, like, I think Flight 2, he should have to fly a plane upside down. Right? Thoughts?
Where's John Goodman come in that? I mean, he sounds like a bad influence, so
He's Denzel Washington's buddy who knows how to get him straightened out. And then, like, when he walks in, you hear the song, like, that Joe Cocker song, I'm feeling all right, not feeling too good myself. Like, the most on-the-nose musical choices you've ever heard. Yeah.
He's Denzel's Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I like you. Okay.
What else is going on, Coco?
I just got home, and my friend was staying here with my dog, and I just changed the linens, and I'm really excited to see my dog and have clean linen. I mean, there's the high level of excitement right now. I'm very, very excited to see my dog. She's going to tell me some stories about when, you know how it is.
I do know how it is. Well, I appreciate the call, Coco, and I want to talk to you soon.
Yes, I will talk to you soon. And I don't know, I might come up as a kind of a threat and consider Mike. I might come up there soon.
So that'd be awesome. I'd love it.
That'd be fun.
Come, please.
Okay, I will.
All right, Coco. You have a great night.
Bye. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Mike?
Yes.
John Goodman? Where does he stand? You think about it. Think about these movies he's done. Is he one of the best? The overrated? You sick of him?
No, he's generally good. Yeah, I mean, but every once in a while he'll throw you, like, you know, a sort of surprise.
King, or King Ralph.
Yeah.
Oh, King Ralph's so good.
I was thinking about that movie tonight.
God, I love King Ralph.
During the best show, randomly.
Dude, I just said King Ralph. I could not mask the disgust I felt. Like, I think I just looked at him just like,
I'd want to be in a King Ralph remake.
Uh-huh. King Ralph. I'd Ralph if I had to watch King Ralph. They'd call me King Ralph because I'm the king of throwing up from watching King Ralph. King Ralph. He was, heir to the throne because like 30 people died or something.
Like the entire royal family died at once.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun way to start a movie.
Yeah,
right.
They were electrocuted.
Yeah,
they were electrocuted during a photo. I believe that something collapsed.
Yeah. There was water and.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a fun. That's a jaunty way to kick off a movie.
I love that movie too.
It's a comedy.
It is a comedy.
Yeah. I remember it had
a
big
fish out of water story.
Okay,
it had a big tie-in with Burger King at the time or something. I just remember that. I remember that those commercials were just like everywhere.
Speaking of Ralphing, right?
We never did the Black Whopper.
Have you eaten the Black Whopper?
No. We didn't do the Black Whopper.
Is it still on the
market? I almost ran out tonight to see if.
I thought maybe that double Chipotle thing was.
I'll buy you one. Tonight, next week, it'll be a Black Whopper.
Next week, tomorrow.
Green
tomorrow.
Whopper.
Yeah, the green one.
It's kind of green and black. Uh-huh. Just eat it.
Yeah.
You're better off not have eaten the Black Whopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only so far. We're not doing a morning zoo here. Hey, we got AP Mike's about to, hey, why don't you dig into that Black Whopper?
Just eat it, Mike.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, huh?
You guys are crazy.
Oh, this guy's going to barf. Look at him. He's going to barf.
Ugh, I don't feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew he would. What an idiot. He ate the Black
Whopper. He totally ate the Black
Whopper. Soundboard, he got it. The soundboard.
What a moron. Yeah, baby. Yeah, look at him. He's eating the Black Whopper. What a moron.
He should do the whole half hour like this.
I can't believe he's eating it. So stupid.
Oh, look at him.
I got to work on my radio voice. Yeah. He's more like a radio guy.
Yeah. Hey, you eating that Black Whopper? Yeah, look at him. Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to do sports right now. We got
I'll be in the bathroom.
Yeah. Half hour power, you're on with AP Mike, Dudio, Kristen, and Pat Byrne.
Hey, everybody. This is Christopher, formerly of the Clown Motel.
Oh,
wow.
You're home.
I am home.
But you'll never be home. You're haunted by it forever.
I am, a little bit.
Do you feel like you carry the scars of that with you?
Sort of. I also at times feel like it kind of never happened. It's a very weird recovery process.
Mm-hmm. How long were you there?
30 days.
Whew.
30 days in the hole, right? Did that song come to mind at any point?
A lot of times. Mm-hmm. It did feel like prison occasionally, but with more casinos.
I gave him a hard time last week when he called.
Yeah.
When he called up, I said to him, "You're still doing that?"
Yeah.
It was
That's
a little rough.
I
agree.
No, I totally deserve it. I deserve all the abuse I get over there.
I mean, was anything revealed in weeks, after the first week? That you couldn't have sort of gotten it all in the first, maybe 1 week rather than 4 weeks?
Third week is where it really ramped up.
Oh, okay.
When we had bikers and clowns and a flood and a radiation scare.
Okay.
So.
Sounds like Repo Man. Radiation scare.
Was. What did you eat there? What do clowns eat?
It's Black Whoppers.
There's one grocery store in town.
Hey, shut up and eat that Black Whopper.
Yeah, we got that idiot from the Clown Motel checking in right now. He's eating a Black Whopper. Just
have you tried it?
Yeah. Hey, stupid, you ever eat a Black Whopper? This will all make sense when you hear the show. If this is out of context right now and you think I'm calling you stupid. But we're talking like it's a morning.
Who was the real clown in the Clown Motel?
Oh, yeah.
AP Mike is checking
guys.
In. We got AP Mike going back to the Clown Motel.
You're thinking of McDonald's.
He's going back in for a Black Whopper. We got him wired. AP Mike's at the drive-thru getting a Black Whopper. Look at him. He's eating it. What a dope. So, what did you eat?
A lot of... peanut butter sandwiches and cups of noodles. It's hard to cook when all you have is a microwave and a mini fridge.
stayed in the room? Like, aren't there restaurants?
I did go to restaurants, but, you know, that's just like, you know, regular restaurant sandwich.
This is more depressing, knowing that you're like eating a cup of noodles in your room at the hotel.
One bed or two small beds?
Two.
You had the little, that weird suitcase bed?
You had two beds?
Yeah, two beds.
A Murphy bed, yeah.
Two doubles?
You know what a Daniel Murphy bed is? It's a bed that's supposed to fold up, but then it falls again. When it's supposed to go up, it goes down. And
did you sleep in both of the beds?
Mike, I don't want to. The one thing Mike doesn't want me to tell you, he lost $80,000 on these Mets games, on each of the games. So he lost $240,000.
Took a hit.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of a hit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little dinged. You got dinged
a little bit.
Yeah,
thought they would do.
Yeah, lost $250,000, but
half my 401k.
$240,000 bill right there.
Yeah. What are you doing? Sounds like you're in a worse place than the Clown Motel.
No, I'm in Portland. It's a little bit better.
Well, I appreciate that thanks for calling every week and keeping us up to date. Call back again and let us know what's going on when you're still haunted by visions of the Clown Motel.
Sure, I'll report it.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Okay, bye, Tom.
It is.
Oh.
What did the people who ran this motel say to him? You know,
he said that they were weirded out by him a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to say, wouldn't they just be like, you know, no one's supposed to do this. We don't encourage this.
I think he's the unusual thing. He's in this hotel for a month. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a king bed. He got two double beds, and he's eating a cup of noodles in the room. That's weird.
Yeah.
There was a time I was doing this Ted Leo video for the song Colleen that I was not directing, but I wrote it and
that was in a
produced
motel.
It. Yeah, and we shot that at the one of those pyramid motels across from Rahway Prison.
Oh, yeah.
And we needed two rooms I needed to secure a room that we could shoot in. And so I needed two rooms, one we could put people in and one we could film in. So I had to go to this place and rent two rooms. And it's a small place, so they're super suspicious.
Yeah.
When you go there and you're like, hi, I need to get two rooms. And they're just like, the guy's like, two rooms, huh? I'm like, yeah, I need two rooms. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, what do you need two rooms for? And I was like, well, I got family coming in. And the guy said, you don't want your family staying here. And then I said, well, can I rent? He would not rent me the room. I had to go back like 12. I figured if I go back 12 hours later, he won't still be there. And he wasn't. And I just didn't explain why I needed two rooms the second time. And the guy didn't ask. So,
you know what it sounds like to me?
What's that, Mike?
Pimping problems. Have a pimp in one room.
Pimping problems.
You got a pimp in one room, and you know, the ladies in the other.
Yeah. Well, Mike.
You thought you were a pimp, Tom. You should take that as a compliment.
Like you had pimping problems.
No, what he thought I was an idiot who was going to put my family in the dumpiest of dumps, and he was just being like, this place is a dump. You don't want your family staying here. He did not say, look, his pimp dar did not go off. Oh, no, look at this. Here comes a pimp.
You're having pimping problems, I know.
Yeah. Caller?
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the Half Hour Power with AP Mike Dudio, Kristen, and Pat Byrne.
Hi, I'm Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I know Tom's been watching Project Greenlight.
Mm-hmm.
Have the rest of you guys been watching it?
No, sir.
I haven't watched it since the Battle of Shaker Heights.
Season two. I made it to the end.
Halfway season one for me.
I just had a question for Tom and about whether it's a hypothetical. If he had a film, would you rather have Jason directing it or Effie producing it, if you had to pick?
Oh, I'd rather have Effie produce it, because if you just, I think if somebody just talked to her level-headedly and just you stick up for your stuff and you just got to learn how to communicate. That guy dug his own grave ultimately, Jason,
yeah.
The director. He was so bullheaded in the wrong ways. And I thought he got jobbed a few times, at least within the reality of this not realistic thing that I'm sure everything we saw has an alternate version that somebody would explain how it actually went down. But, yeah. No, I think you could at least deal with her. And
did you think she was a plant? I thought she might have even been like a plant to add drama to the show. You know, like you said, it's not really reality. I thought it was like kind of a.
I mean, people have to choose to be on a reality show, uh-huh. And you know, you're going to get what you signed up for if you're on a reality. You can't turn around and go, oh my God, I'm on a reality show.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a reality show. And it's, they are now 0-4 in terms of good movies. So it's clearly a show. They're 4-4 in entertaining seasons of a show, mm-hmm. watching people eat it, trying to make a movie. And they are 0-4 on actual good movies from the thing. So I think That speaks for itself.
You know what was the Effie line that was always killing me?
What's that?
Whenever there would be like some sort of conflict, her go-to line was, are we really having this conversation? Mm-hmm. And yeah. It was like it was sort of a conversation ender right there. You know, it's like.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know. I think she yeah, she sucked, but. I think I would be able to deal with her in mm-hmm. a thing. You just yeah. learn, you just deal with people like adults and yeah. talk to them like adults, and suddenly they act like adults.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No.
Well, I've done like minimal stuff, like an intern, you know, different TV stuff. But from what I gather from all the producers I've met, Mark Joubert, is it?
Mark Joubert.
Joubert. Yeah. He did not seem at all like any producer.
No.
He seemed like the least powerful person.
He was terrible.
He was the most, supposed to have the most power there. And he acted like he had less power.
All he did was duck. He just ducked the job from beginning to end.
Yes.
What he should have done is taken Effie and Jason and said, it's like, look, I know the two of you don't get along. Let's mm-hmm. just go sit down somewhere and we'll find some sort of common ground between us so we can go forward and work together like adults. He should have bridged that gap. But he did not. He just chose to run and always be like, I gotta say, I think Jason's right about the stunt. I gotta say, I think Effie's right about the notes on the thing. Yeah. It's like, but he's just like, he's the worst kind of person because he's yeah. completely spineless. And
yeah, so you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, buddy. Half Hour Power, you're on with AP Mike Dudio, Kristen, and Pat Byrne.
Happy birthday, AP Mike.
Wow. Okay.
Who's this guy?
I don't know. His voice sounds familiar, though.
What's your name, bud?
I'm Shane from Philadelphia/Boston.
Oh.
I remember this guy.
He's becoming a regular.
Are you the guy who accused Mike of harassing you on LinkedIn?
No. I don't have a LinkedIn.
You know, oh, I know this guy.
He didn't want to write his paper, though.
You're the guy in film school.
Yeah.
Oh, the doof.
What?
The doof.
I don't know.
The doof?
Yeah, he called himself a doof.
How many beverages have you had tonight?
Two.
Two? Only two.
Okay. And how many pills were smashed up in those two? Because you clearly are not talking like someone who just had two alcoholic beverages.
Maybe it's because these are really weird, bad chocolate beers or something.
Chocolate beers. Yeah, the high alcohol content in a chocolate beer.
23%.
What's up, Chief?
Not much. Just thinking about
how people play Mahjong. That's like an old people game, right?
It is. Have you ever played?
No, I'm trying to learn the rules.
Uh-huh. It's tricky.
It's really crazy complicated, rules. Yeah.
It is tricky, right?
Yeah. Hey, AP Mike, how's your B-Day?
So far, so good.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. So I'm here to just destroy the ladies tonight. Sorry about that.
Well, you're too late for that.
Yeah, no, you didn't touch it, dude.
Oh, nice.
So what's up? You watch any good movies this week?
I'm watching The Nick right now, the TV show.
Yeah.
The pilot's really exciting. Do you guys see the pilot or any part of the show?
Is it gory?
It is. I've seen
it's
the first
pretty
season.
Pretty gory, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first season?
Yeah, it was good. And I got a nice little chuckle when John Hodgman appeared in some late episodes of season one, and I believe he's in season two as well.
Oh, well, I'm still getting through season one. I have to write a review.
Okay.
You'll get there.
You guys like the movie The Others?
The Nicole Kidman movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember it. I don't know if I saw it or not.
It's my favorite Nicole Kidman film.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
More than...
Cool. To Die For?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than Eyes Wide Shut?
Oh, yeah.
More than... Just Go With It?
Oh, yeah.
The Abyss?
Days of Thunder?
Moulin Rouge?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
More it's than good. Far and Away?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Bewitched?
Oh, of course.
What about that episode she did a cameo on for that
Eyes Wide
HBO
Shut?
Show? The British guy.
What, extras?
No.
Derek?
Nope.
That was on Netflix. What are you talking about?
I am too tired to remember the
Arliss?
Name of the show. I can't remember.
More than... What else was she in?
Cold Mountain.
Oh, yeah, definitely more than Cold Mountain.
Cold Mountain. Forget, remember that movie? That was Jack White's acting debut. He was in that.
He made the mountain cold.
I would say To Die For is my favorite, but that's why God created Nicole Kidman movies. Yeah. We all have a favorite. More than Australia?
Oh, completely.
So what's up, Chief? You got anything? All right, we did this already. What do you got?
Oh, I was just—I had a dream in the lighting scheme of The Others the other night.
Okay.
So there's that.
So gray. You're saying gray.
Gray and brown.
What was the dream?
I was like being taught by some older guy, and he was teaching us about this big painting, and I accidentally kicked it, and it fell over, and it was like 40 feet tall, but then it was in this really old Victorian home that was very cool, and can't remember much more.
No, did Nicole your teeth fall out? No. Sir?
More than Australia.
I think he's fading.
Yeah, with chocolate beers kicking in.
I wanted to ask him.
More than Hemingway and Gellhorn?
Oh, completely.
Somebody is on IMDb.
Yeah, I'm in the late, I saw the that. Early era.
Yeah. Tragic mistake.
Oh. Thanks for the call, Vinny. We're done here. Anything going on in the news, Mike? That's you always find some sort of...
Well, this wasn't in the news, but your discussion with Matt Walsh earlier reminded me of the time when I was propositioned. Maybe that's the wrong word. When a guy, a fellow drinker, gave me sort of a hard luck story, you know, about how he his ex-wife was keeping him away from his kids, and he's been out of work. And, he needed a few bucks. He was going to go visit his kid. And, it was pretty elaborate, and I sort of felt like, okay, this is a pretty, honest story. So I gave him, I was feeling, I was working back then, and, I had some money, and I gave him a 20. I felt like, all right, you know, this guy really got, you know, touched my heart. And so, but he, you know, he took the 20 and we're still sitting there. And then one of the DVD bootleggers came in. and he did not hesitate.
Yeah.
He called over the DVD bootlegger. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, Tom, but the DVD bootleggers do carry a special bundle, if you ask, of adult features.
Oh, my God.
And he immediately asked for that. And essentially used...
Did he ask for the adult bundle?
Yeah, he asked for the X-rated bundle. And he literally bought two pornos with the money I just gave him, right? There was like no shame. He didn't ask the guy to go outside and complete this transaction.
That's
right?
The funniest thing I've ever
heard.
You gave him $20.
I gave him $20, which he 10 minutes later. There wasn't no delay.
He mentioned his kid.
He's mentioning his kid. He's out of work. And I had just had a similar experience, so I was relating to him.
So then. And 20 minutes later.
Not even. I think it was even. Like maybe 10 minutes later.
10 minutes later, he takes the 20 bucks you gave him and drops it on.
And drops it on pornographic.
Porn.
Yeah, yeah.
Was each porn $10?
He's showing them to me. He's asking, you know, he's like, what do you think, you know? Like he didn't even make the.
This is the funniest story I've ever heard
but
in my
it's
life.
It's not over yet. So that wasn't bad enough.
Yeah.
So I go down to the other end of the bar.
Yeah.
This wasn't at Masses. This was at a different bar.
Okay.
And I'm talking to somebody down at the other end of the bar. And, you know, I feel like, you know, it's not a problem to leave my money on the bar. I'm not paranoid about doing that. And most of the people there are honest. I've never had somebody take my money, you know, off the bar. This guy took a $10 bill in addition to the 20 that I gave him to buy porno. And then he left. And, you know, the bartender saw it, you know, he verified it, that you see him taking the money from the bar. And I'm like, wow. You know, so, yeah. What was tonight's theme again? Why do I bother? Why do I bother? Yeah, I felt that way that night.
Mike.
Yeah. But there was some... you know, a minor victory when the bartender who knew this guy saw him in another bar in a crowded, it was the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah. It's covered in porn.
A crowded bar.
Yeah.
This bartender basically humiliated him, accusing him of being a thief and all this stuff. So, you know, there was some payback for this guy. Yeah. Antics. Real antics.
That is the funniest and not funniest story.
You're sort of like damned if you do. Jason and I had that experience once, but not for porn. There was this lady at Dornell Square that we used to see a lot, and we would give her money. And then one day she said, my birthday is tomorrow. You should get me a cake. And I was like, okay, what kind of cake do you like? And then she proceeded to describe, like, a very specific kind of cake. She wanted bananas and cream. It's like, well, how would you make that? And she explained. So I went home and I made the cake for her.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And then I told her before I left, like, when to be there in the morning. And she wasn't there. So I had to carry a birthday cake to work all day around. Uh-huh. And then at the end of the day, Jason was getting madder and madder because he wanted to eat the cake the whole time.
Yeah.
And
it was a good looking cake.
And so I carried.
He probably just wanted to flip the cake outside the Holland Tunnel.
I carried the cake home on the train.
Three cats.
She wasn't there, so we were walking to the parking lot like at the end of the day, and then she shows up and apologizes and said she was at a wedding.
And so she had to go get her hair done for the wedding.
Yeah, like really?
Well, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. And so she got the cake.
She got the cake.
Wow.
Was she appreciative of the cake?
Not enough.
No, not really.
You know, you want someone to really want it.
I'm just going, not just like, oh, hey, thanks.
Exactly.
Thanks for the cake.
And then the bootleg person walked up.
Yeah.
And she was like, porno bundle, please.
Yeah, she traded the cake. And then you moved in. And you're like, You were like, what do we got here? Okay. I'll get, you got, two street porns and a cake. I could give you three cats.
Sound economics.
Yeah.
Cat flippers. I think that would be, seriously, what if we made a thing that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
And we claimed that it was like a whole, there's like a whole culture of it, uh-huh. and that you're the best at it. And like we have other people like not being as good at yeah. it as you, or like you're in competition, like, uh-huh. Like you're walking into the place where you do your cat flipping, yeah. and then you see like Mike there, you're like, oh no, he's here. But this guy, he sucks at cat flipping. Like it's like Storage Wars, but with stealing and flipping cats.
You know what? I have noticed a lot of strays out in front of the studio.
Yeah.
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 Not for long.
Yeah. No.
He's got a steady
team.
He's got a steady.
You never see the same ones.
He's got. Yeah. No. I was just gonna say he's got a steady supply out there.
Exactly. He just keeps them out there. Lets them breathe. Get a little taste of the street. Then he flips them. Have you ever heard anything dumber than cat flipping?
This almost sounds like a Nathan for you.
Oh, how about that? What we do?
Yeah, I was thinking that, actually.
Dudio for you. Dudio for nobody is what that would be called. I don't know who that's for. Well, let's end the show.
That's it.
Mike, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Mike.
People see you? You're at Masses on Sunday?
Sundays, yeah. Still there.
All right. People come in Bayonne. If you find yourself in Bayonne, swing by Masses, say hi to Mike on a Sunday.
What I've noticed is lots of people on their way to Newark Airport try and find the time on the way. It's a, mm-hmm. it's a good stop before the airport.
Sure, yeah.
If you don't indulge too much.
Yeah. Eventually there will be one inside the airport, like a small Masses.
Yeah, little Masses to go.
We'll just go to that one.
Yeah.
Everything's overpriced. Yeah.
Duty-free Masses.
Yeah.
And even more narrow Masses. It'll be Masses. It'll be just like as thick as like a book.
Yeah,
it's like it's next to Jersey Diner. Yeah, it's like oh, this is diner where everything's $18.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Jason, Kristen, Bridge and Tunnel, and what's the next show?
Next show is November 14th at People's Improv Theater.
And is that another Get Real?
This is not a Get Real. This is a brand new show.
Okay.
We're taking 1 month off from Get Real.
Okay.
Next month will be Get Real. We're trying to get a, if you guys know of anyone, we're trying to get a mall Santa.
Okay.
So.
And if you're a mall elf, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you have any interesting Christmas stuff, we could do a show about you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. But this show on the 14th is?
This is a show about New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people can find out more about getting tickets where?
On The Pit.
It's thepit-nyc.com or bridgeandtunnelnyc.com.
Okay. And, of course, at Sonic Dork and at Kristen Cheeks.
Yeah. Yeah, follow me on Instagram.
Okay. Oh, you're...
Oh, wow. You're
Twitter's a thing of the past.
Moving on.
All right. Pat Byrne?
Yes, sir.
What's up with you?
You're exhausted.
Yeah, poor Pat.
I'm sorry.
No.
I've been fighting it.
It's late.
Yeah.
What do you got? Anything?
What do I got?
You just did a live Prove It All Night.
Yes. I forgot to mention earlier. I wanted to plug the Eric Bergstrom benefit that's happening, but that's by the time this airs, it'll have passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure he's got a GoFundMe or something up there.
Okay.
For Eric Bergstrom. Very funny comedian in New York going through some medical expenses and stuff.
Okay. Well, if you tweet it, I'll retweet it.
Cool.
Too. So
I'll do that tomorrow.
Just look at Pat's Twitter.
Yes.
1-800-PAT-BURN or mine at Sharpling. And let's end the Half Hour Power. Thanks, everybody. We will be back. Best show next week. Half Hour Power in 2 weeks. Have a great night. Bye.
Bye.